that it's a hymn that we've got to leave for Sister Faye to sing. I remember you singing that for us as a special, Sister Faye. I see your face every time we sing that. What a blessing. All right, let's go in our Bibles. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 and 3. I shouldn't have said that I was preaching the afternoon message. I should have just said he was coming back. He was going, all right? That's what the Exodus looks like. All right, 1 John chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 to 3. This is a portion of scripture that I had a look at. I think it was about 3 weeks ago we had a look at this. And there was one bit of the verse number 3, that I sort of wanted to have a look at just a little bit more. And that's, Lord willing, what I want to do this afternoon, is have a look at the end of verse number 3. But for context, we'll read verses 1 to 3. So verse number 1 says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." And this is the bit I want to have a look at. And look at the end of that verse. "And his commandments are not what?
Grievous.
And his commandments are not grievous." So that what we've read there says, if you love God, you will love the brethren. And this is a way that you know you love the brethren, that is that you obey God. Folks, we touched on this last time. The modern idea that there are no more commandments in this dispensation is flawed. It is erroneous. Amen. Hyper grace will teach you that you can basically live like you want because of grace. And to that, I say nonsense. Okay? God has a way for God's people to live. So grace and love do not remove commandments. They motivate and help us to obey those instructions in the Bible that God sets before us so that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, in the life that is pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. So with that established by the Word of God, let me say this, as our title says. All of God's Word, all of His commandments to you and I, as far as you and I are concerned, His Word, His commandments is not grievous. Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the day we've had in church. And Father, we just pray that you would bless your time now as we have a look at this short portion of Scripture. Help us to concentrate and to set our hearts on things above. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We pray that you'd have your will and your way with this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you go ahead and look at your dictionary, the word grievous in the English dictionary means to cause or be characterized by severe pain, by suffering, and by sorrow. That is the definition of the word grievous in your dictionary. If you have a look at it in your concordance, it means to be oppressive, to be severe, and burdensome. So the reality is this, church, is someone really going to stand up and suggest and say that if we obey God, if we are obeying a way of life that is characterized by following God's word and obeying the word of God, is someone really going to stand up and say that that's grievous to me, that it would be characterized by severe pain and suffering and sorrow? Is someone actually suggesting that God has appointed us to this sort of life? That was his intention? I mean, God forbid. God's commandments are not grievous to us. You know, God tells us what is grievous. Other places in your Bible, the King James uses the word grievous, for example, as a grievous famine. The sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was grievous to God. Abraham having to send Ishmael away was grievous to him. It was caused severe pain and heartache and suffering and sorrow. The plague of flies in Egypt was described as grievous. Solomon's taxes in having a desire to rebuild the temple beyond what God, it was grievous, the Bible says. Of a child oppressed by the devil, it's grievous. A grievous thing is something that is very heavy and painful to you. The reality is, church, God's commandments are not burdensome. God's commandments are not painful, church. So when the Bible declares his commandments are not grievous, it is reminding us that the problem is never with God's commands, but with a human heart that resists those commandments, that word. His ways are always right. His ways are always loving. His ways are always for our good. Therefore, whether I understand them fully, agree with them immediately, or struggle with them personally, I can still trust that every commandment he gives is good. The way that God said for you and me to live is good. The things that God said I should do, the things that he told me not to do, those things are good for me. They're not grievous. So with that truth in mind, let's consider, first of all, point number one. God's commandments are not grievous, whether I agree with them or not. Now, let me be honest with you. Let me be candid, all right? I have, at various times in my life, felt like certain of God's instructions were burdensome. I felt at times that they were painful. Giving, tithing was something that was hard for me to get used to. Very early on in my Christian life, the reality was when I got saved, I had just bought a house, and I had a wife and who wasn't working. And I had an 18-month-old little girl, and we were talking about having another one. Maybe that should have been a longer conversation, brother. Amen. And I was earning peanuts. You know, the reality was the house that I was in, I really couldn't afford. I bought the house because my sister said, "Oh, I can get you the loan. Don't worry about it. It's fine." Back then, Sister Vicky, there was these low doc home loans. You remember those? Okay, that's how I got my home. My sister got it for me, and I don't think I even went to the bank, right? And she got but it was a mortgage, and we were I remember, folks, my mortgage was like 3/4 of my pay, right? And we were living on pasta and butter, and you know, which was fine. And all this sort of stuff. But then Gus goes and gets saved. And then God has a requirement. God has a commandment. God has a desire that his people should give to the work of God. And to me, to give, you know, as a starting point, 10% of my income was grievous. It was burdensome. You know, trying to go full-time here in church and adjust to that felt hard. There are some times in my life where, you know, you ever been on holidays? You ever been overseas in Ecuador, we're saying we want to go, and we've been to Greece and Hawaii, and you've been on holidays and Sunday comes? And we're really thinking, I'm on holidays. It means I'm on holiday. I should have a holiday from church, you know. Like, do I really have to go to church on Sunday morning? And we know the Spirit of God tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves, and we should go to church, and it feels a little bit burdensome and a little bit grievous to us. You know, in ministry life, continuing to share the gospel even though there is no real fruit, that sometimes is burdensome. The reality is, why even bother? And these people don't want to hear. It's burdensome. I mean, folks, those things, I look at it now and I think, you know what, they're still pretty petty kind of things. What about those of you who have to forgive someone that abused you? What about you guys that have to forgive someone for something in your life that really did hurt you beyond what is reasonable? Not that it's ever reasonable to hurt someone. What about those of you who are called to love someone who is essentially unlovable? I have a few people in my mind at the moment. God calls you to love them, and you know that, and you imagine them in your eye, and you say, Lord, how? I mean, they are unlovable. The truth of God's word stands, church. His commandments are not grievous whether I think they are or not. In other words, our default position must be that even when we think God is being hard or God is being unreasonable on us, he actually isn't. So when God is asking each and every one of us to live for him in his way, he's not being hard, folks. You know, when God is asking each and every one of us to give him back, you know, as a starter, like I said, you know, at least 10% of what I make, of my business makes, and what I make, and what my family makes, when God is telling me to trust and to give to him like he wants me to, he is not being grievous. And today we may say amen, but why don't we do it? Because we do think that command is grievous to us. If we didn't, we would obey. You know, folks, God is not being grievous when he asks you to not forsake the assembling of yourself to be at church, regardless of where you are and what you're doing. I mean, today, look, I'll be honest with you, today is a perfect example. We had almost a full church in the morning, and now it's almost less than half of that. What was so pressing? What was so in demand that we couldn't be at church in the afternoon? And most of our folks would have thought that. I should be in church, at church in the afternoon. But you know what? That was grievous. That was grievous. And so they chose the other way. Was God being grievous? No. I don't think God was asking too much. He's not being grievous when he asks us to share the gospel despite what kind of results we think we should be getting for our time. You know, church, I got convicted on this. That was one of the things God spoke to me at conference about my lack of love for lost people. You know, I was reminded today how very often I don't see the lost like Jesus sees the lost. God's command, and why don't you do it? Because it's grievous to do it. Well, I was reminded we went. I had lunch with Pastor Tom at a place, and we sat down and we had a barbecue, and we were talking, and we went to an American barbecue place, and as we were talking, we were just talking about ministry and different things that I needed his help with, and he's saying how good the food was. I said, "Oh, brother, you should try. When we finish, I'll get you to try the American cherry pie." Kaylee's smiling because we tried it on Saturday night when we got there, and it was just American, you know, big slice of cherry pie with ice cream and cream on it, and he was like, "Oh, it was good." And I'm telling him about it, and he goes, "Brother, I haven't tried cherry pie for so long. I want a piece of cherry pie." I said, "Let me fix you up, Brother Tom." So I stand up, I go to, and I sort of got to know the owner. I said to the owner, I said, "Look, I've got an American here. And he wants to try your cherry pie." And he goes, "Oh no," he goes, "we don't have any more." He goes, "We sold out of it and I only make a couple, and it was really popular." And I feel so bad because America. I said, "Yeah, I know." So he goes, "Let me come to the table and apologize." So I walk him back and I sit down, and he's just standing there, and he comes to Tom. He says, "Tom, I'm so sorry, mate. you know, we usually cook this thing, we ran out, and I just want to apologize. And Tom goes, oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry. He goes, oh, is this your place? And the guy goes, yeah, it's my place. My name's, you know. And I said, oh, Tom goes, oh, that's fantastic. Just tracked. Here you go, something for you to read. And the Spirit of God said, you've been here plenty of times and you never gave him a tract. See, the idea is to share your faith. Some of us find that, I found it grievous to do that all the time. Tom didn't have that problem. Sometimes we think people aren't worth it. It's just we're busy. But the reality is, folks, what God asks us to do is not bad for us. It's not grievous. So the issue that we have is never that God's commandments are too heavy. The issue is that our flesh is too stubborn. Our faith is too small. And our perspective is too short. When we finally trust his heart, we discover that even in the hardest of commands, with them carry the wisdom of God, they carry the blessings of God, and they carry the grace of God. His commandments, his word for us to follow, is not grievous whether I agree with it or not, folks. Point number two. There's only three, okay? His commandments are not grievous for two reasons. One is, he helps us to carry the load. Understand, church, that when God asks you to do something, to live for something, to make a decision for something, he doesn't just ask you to do that and then drop you there and say, okay, let's see how you go now. He carries that load with you. That's why in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, Jesus gives the instruction of following the Lord is like being in a yoke with the Lord. You know the illustration? The yoke is what you put on top of two, in the New Testament, was what you put across the backs of two ox to plow a field. So they would do they would share the work of plowing that field. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, 28 and 30, when we come to God and we choose to live for God and to follow the Lord, that we enter into the Christian life with him. We are in God's yoke. And what does he say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. What does that mean, Brother Kurt? It means that, you know what? We enter into the labor with him. We go in it, but he will do all the heavy lifting. He's not asking you to do your half of what he's supposed to do. In fact, he's going to do most of it, but he wants you to be alongside him. And he says in verse number 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yes, your yoke is easy and your burden is light because he's going to carry most of it. And yet how often we don't even want to enter into the yoke with Christ. He helps us carry the load. He helps us via the word of God, folks. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17 tells us. He carries the load. Get into the word of God if life is heavy. He helps us carry the load via the grace of God. What does Hebrews 4:16 tell us? Grace to help in time of need. He helps us carry the load. He helps us via the Holy Spirit of God. And folks, you know the Holy Spirit of God in you. If you're saved, you know the Lord Jesus Christ. He empowers you and he comforts you and he guides you and he illuminates you. And that's why God's commandments are not grievous. The way that God has for you to live is not grievous to you. He helps us carry the load. Secondly, he always keeps our human frailty in mind. See, the things that God asks of me and the thing that God asks for you in this Christian life, he asks them completely knowing what you're capable of and what you're not capable of. He knows your frailty. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, while you get there, let me see if I can find my water. Psalm 103. Verses 13 and 14. Say amen when you're there. Look at it, verse number 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Now that word pitieth is not, oh, he feels sorry for him. Look, you know, oh, I asked Kurt to do that. And, you know, I feel sorry for him because I already know you can't do it. And, you know, I have pity on him because... No, no, his pity is he understands the frame. He understands where we're at. That's a biblical pity, all right? He asks us something, like a father asks something of the children, understanding where the children are at. Look at verse number 14. For he knoweth our frame. He knows what we're made of. He knows how we're built. He remembereth that we are but what? But dust. So he understands what we are, where we're coming from. He understands our frailty, our makeup, our background. So I ask you this, why would a holy God ask of you something that he knows that you cannot do? Well, the reality is he wouldn't, amen? Because he's not a grievous God. In John chapter 6, we have the example, a New Testament miracle that you know very well. We have the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And in John chapter 6, Jesus looked at Philip and said to him, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" In verse number 5. He looked at Philip and said, there's 5,000 people, which is actually more like 20,000, because the Bible says 5,000 men. When you take the women and the children, it's probably more like 20,000 people, four times that amount. And he looks to Philip and says, Philip, where are we going to go and we're going to buy food to feed 20,000 people? And then he doesn't actually answer. He just then goes and tells the disciples to have the people to sit down. And what Jesus does, he provides and Jesus distributes the food. Right now think about it with me for just a moment. It's amazing. Jesus asked them to do something that was impossible in their own strength, the church. They didn't have enough money to buy the food. They didn't have enough food to start off with. They didn't have enough resources. They didn't have the manpower. And yet the command was not grievous. Why? Because what God asked them to do, what he required, he himself would supply. Every time you look at the word of God and there's an instructions for living, don't look at it and say, how on earth am I going to do this? Don't look at it and say, I'm not capable, I'm not beyond, I just can't. What we should be saying is, God asked me to do it, it is the word of God, it is truth, he will enable me to do that. If I but believe him, if I just step out in faith and start the process. What God is asking you to obey, he will enable you to do. He took the little boy's lunch and he blessed it and he multiplied it and then put the miracle back into the disciples' hands. Did you ever notice that? That the food just didn't appear in people's? No, he filled the basket and then he said what to the disciples? I'm fulfilling what I've asked you to do. I will supply, you go out and you feed them. What was the disciples' job? To obey, just to do. Just to take God at his word and just do what they asked him to do. This is how God works in our lives, my dear church. He may ask you to forgive someone that is unforgivable. Pastor, how do I do that? He supplies the grace for you to do that. He may ask you to serve in a capacity you don't think you're capable. You know what? He will supply the strength for you to do that. He may ask you to give the way you're supposed to give. In fact, yes, but he will supply the provision. Folks, many of us are doing it tough because we think we supply our own needs, and so we withhold from God, from the one that we think won't care. I mean, where do we get that theology from, folks? He may ask you, he has asked you to share your faith, to witness. You just start. He will supply the boldness. You know, it was amazing. I didn't think about giving this owner of the restaurant a tract, but Tom did and get started, and then all of a sudden in his testimony, this man shared that he was Catholic, and so Tom goes, oh yeah, Gus was Catholic, and I just started sharing with him and some scriptures and my life, and you know, when I just stepped out in faith and began, God supplies. But you got to believe that he can and then start. Your job is to start. His job is to enable and to finish it. He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's not just in relation to the end, the rapture and the end times. This is about life. Being saved is but the beginning of your Christian life. Jesus never asks his people to do something alone, never on their own, never by themselves. He commands and then he enables. So when the Lord gives an instruction, folks, it is never grievous, because the one who gives the command also gives the power to obey. Amen? Point number three is the last one. If I disagree with God about his instruction being grievous, it will be for one of two reasons. The first one is the commandments I'm seeking to obey are not actually his. A lot of the times, folks, we think things are tough because we're trying to do something that God never said to do. And in the Bible, we see the instructions, the commandments of the Pharisees. And they had all kinds of things attached to the Sabbath day and attached to ritual cleansing, all these things which God never really asked of. They came down from the tradition of the Pharisees as commandments of men. And they were grievous to them because they weren't of God. Folks, God's commands can be grievous when we get our instruction from what people say God said, not what God said. That's how religion and cult are formed. When you follow people that said, on the internet or on books or even from a pulpit, they said, God told me, and God said in his word. And God never said those things. Go study it in your Bible, the condemnation that comes to those people. Thus saith the Lord, when the Lord said, thus not. But on the behalf of the listener, it becomes hard yakka and becomes hard to live with, because we're following the commandments of men and we don't have the nobility of the Bereans to go and check whether these things are so. And so we move on and we drudge on in misery and drudgery as a hard Christian life, because we're trying to live up to someone else's standard that is a man's standard. And the other reason some are just hard is because we just simply won't walk with God. We're simply not walking with the Lord. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 15. We're almost done. Proverbs chapter 15. I want to show you this crystal clear, and then we'll be done. Proverbs 15, and look at verse number 10. Proverbs 15, and verse number 10. Who's there? Say amen. Amen. Michael, do you want to read that nice and loud for us? Proverbs 15, 10. Same Bible as mine, brother. Did you notice that? Correction is what? Grievous unto him that what? That forsaketh the way. You know why sometimes God's word is grievous to us? The way God has to live, we find it hard and burdensome because we just won't walk with God. We have forsaken the way. And he says there, it's grievous. We won't follow God. We won't let him speak to us because we hardly pick up the Bible and read it. We won't talk to him. We don't pray like we heard this morning. We don't have that two-way communication with our Savior. We forsake a relationship with the one that saved us. Oh, except on a Sunday. So then when we do come, because we've forsaken the relationship during the week, we come on Sunday, we hear the word of God, and now all of a sudden the preaching is grievous to us. You know, every single time I have blamed my pastor for something, looking back on it, a lot, not all the time, but most of the time, it was because I wasn't walking with God. Because what he was saying wasn't a lie. But it was grievous to me because I wasn't walking with God. What's the solution? In fact, the solution is always God. The solution is for me to chase the presence of God in my life every single moment of my life. Psalm 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence, in thy presence, in thy presence is what? Fullness of joy. Exactly. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore, the Bible says. A Bible story that you know, God's command to Jonah, right? Jonah in the whale's belly. God's command to Jonah was simple and it was crystal clear. In Jonah chapter 1, the second verse, God gives the command to Jonah. What was it? In your vernacular, you don't have to know the King James. What's the vernacular? What did God tell Jonah? Sorry, someone say it. It's not a trick question, folks. You all know what God asked Jonah, right? Get up and go. To who? It wasn't hard. Arise, get up, and go to Nineveh. Was there a problem with the command? Was there a problem with what God asked him? No, but Jonah didn't agree with the command. Why? Not because God's instruction was grievous, but because Jonah's heart was out of step with God's heart. We won't obey, and all of a sudden God's word seems grievous and burdensome. Because most of the time we are not people after God's own heart. The reality is Jonah didn't want mercy for the Ninevites. He had prejudice and he had bitterness and he had his own agenda, so he fled from the presence of the Lord. And so, folks, you and I, we flee God as well. We go missing. But did you ever stop and notice when you read, you know, Jonah chapter 1, 2, and 3? Did you ever notice what became grievous in this story? The ship in the storm was grievous. That was grievous. Can I ask you, are you in a storm today? Are you in some kind of storm in life right now? That's grievous. The sea was grievous. You're up to your neck in circumstances and troubles, and you're up to here, and that is grievous. In that story, the fish's belly was grievous. You feel like you're in a hole and you can't get out? That's grievous. The chastening of God was grievous. The misery of running from God was grievous. But God's original command was not grievous. The burden did not come from obeying God. The burden came from resisting God. That's why it's grievous. Because we resist God. I will not have this man to rule over my life. Most of the burdens in our life, again, not all of them, but most of the burdens in our life, most of the dramas in my life are because we run from God and we resist His ways. What if I said to you, let's put it to the test today. Let's put it to the test. Would you be willing? I said, let's go have to the coffee and go for a coffee and we'll sit down and let's discuss the situations you're in and let's see if we can find the root cause of those dramas. You know why no one asks that type of counsel? You know why no one approaches pastor and says, pastor, can I get your help with all this? You know why? Because we already know, folks. We are not living the way God told us to live. And so He brings about burdens and dramas and circumstances in my life. And so I am grieved and I find God's instructions grievous. But did you notice in the story of Jonah, when Jonah finally prayed and turned back to the Lord, that the path of Jonah's life opened up again the way God had intended? Many believers blame the commandments when the real pain comes from disobedience, folks. We know God says to forgive. I mean, we've spent countless times in church about it. We know God says forgive, but we refuse. And the bitterness that's associated with that becomes grievous to us. God says, give. Give to me abundantly and beyond your measure. Give. And we resist. And greed becomes grievous. And we want more. And we want to have more. We want to hold on to more. And with that comes, you have no peace. No contentment. The dramas increase more too. And the whole thing becomes grievous to us. God says, go to church. And we neglect it. And the dryness that comes with that becomes grievous. God says, witness. And we stay silent. And the guilt of that becomes grievous. Jonah proves this truth, folks. God's way was light. Jonah's way was heavy. Can I ask you, we'll close here. How are you doing this afternoon? How are you going, my dear church? How's life? Is life heavy at the moment? Why? Is your life light or heavy? I'm done. Let me just say, look, if I've lost the joy in my Christianity, the fault is not with God, church. It is with me. I must come back to Him to abide in Him. I must come back for only abiding in Christ is my service for Him and my obedience to Him a joy to me. Until you do, folks, listen, there will be no sweetness in your life. And that's on you, folks. That's not on the Lord. Why? Because His commandments, the way He has for us to live, His commandments are not grievous. So the question this afternoon is not, has God been too hard on me? Does God, you know, God ask the unreasonable of me? The real question is, have I drifted from the one who makes obedience sweet? Because obeying God, living God, living for God, living God's way, folks, should be sweet. Amen? God's commandments are not. Let's stand, let's bow our heads, and we're done. Let's stand. Let me challenge you just for 1 second here. Some of you don't need a new Bible. Some of you don't need to go to a new church. Some of you don't need to change your circumstances. What some of you need is just a renewed walk with God. You need to come back to prayer, come back to His Word, come back to a tenderness with the Lord, a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, come back to a simple surrender. Coming back to just obeying what God said without your own reasoning in it, folks. Just doing what God told you to do. And maybe His commands have felt heavy, you know, lately. And church feels heavy, and giving feels heavy, and serving feels heavy, and forgiving feels heavy, and witnessing feels heavy. And if that is where you are, you know, don't blame God. Just come back to God. Folks, the commandments did not change, just the distance changed. Christian, if your joy is gone, come home. If you're discontented, if your heart is cold, just come home to the Lord. I'll leave you with Spurgeon. While your head's bowed and your eyes are closed, he said this: I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. Folks, your circumstances are God's calling on your life to a closer relationship with Him. His commandments are not grievous. Heavenly Father, we come before You this afternoon thankful for Your Word. Thankful for Your truth. Thankful that You are a God who never asks anything of Your children that is cruel or harsh or needless. Lord, forgive us for the times we have thought wrongly about You in our hearts. Even when we didn't mean it. When we've looked at Your Word as burdens instead of a blessing. We've seen it as weights instead of wisdom and grief instead of grace. Help us to see, Lord, that the problem is never with You, but so often with us. When our hearts grow cold and draw us near again, Father God. When our minds grow stubborn, make us tender again. When our joy has faded, restore to us the joy of our salvation. Teach us again that in Your presence is fullness of joy, and at Your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And Father, I pray for every believer here in this room this afternoon that You would strengthen the weary. Encourage those of us who are discouraged. Lift up the burden, Father God. Rekindle the one who has drifted. Father, would You give us grace to those of us trying to obey in the most of difficult circumstances of life. Give us power to forgive. Father, give us faith to give and boldness to witness and faithfulness to serve and gladness in our hearts as we walk with You. And Father, I pray that You would help us not to merely to do right, but to delight in doing right. May obedience become sweet again, Lord, something that we chase. May prayer become precious. May the Bible become alive again. May church become joyful again. May Christ become our first and only love again. Father, would You send us from this place closer to You than when we came in? Keep us faithful. Keep us humble, thankful, Lord, and joyful in the days ahead. May our lives, Father, prove to a watching world that Your commandments are not grievous. Living for You is not grievous. Living for you is the joy of our life. We ask all of these things in the precious and mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said...